2, and it's our monthly get-together with Shark Hunters and Harry Cooper, talking about wartime things, and just 80 years ago, it was all on the table. Came very close to having an entirely different world than we have now. I'll stand with General George Patton and others who realized before the war was even over that we had been duped by the international bankers and were fighting the wrong enemy. No question about it whatsoever. All right, now line two. Let's kind of move right on through these. Take a look at picture number 3 in that line, which is labeled picture number 4, but pay no attention to that. Number 3 shows snow and ice on the ground. Cold country, Germany, cold. Winter, Europe. Look at the underneath observation bubble under the nose of the condor. That's somebody sat in there with binoculars looking and looking. The pilots were busy looking up at a different direction, but you can see the observation bubble there. Very interesting.
Probably had a camera in there too, I would imagine, and fitted out for recon.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay, next picture. I don't know if it's Photoshop or not, but it's a beautiful picture of any aircraft. That's a very, very handsome-looking plane. Yeah. With an extended observation bubble on the bottom of it, looks like. Yeah. Well, they had bombs, too, they could drop, so there may have been bombs in the back.
Condor was a versatile aircraft.
Okay, next picture shows a squadron of them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them at least.
Right,
with the,
that you can see right here.
Yeah, you see the air crew standing in front.
Yeah, usually have, depending on the outfit, 15 aircraft in a squadron.
Looks like five men per plane.
Okay, yeah, pilot, co-pilot, navigator, bombardier, then you had some gunners, depending on how many guns you had aboard.
We probably had a gunner, yeah. Navigator probably doubled as an observer.
Yeah, and they never had tail gunners on these things.
They were totally unprotected from the back.
Yeah. Well, what do you see unusual about photo 14, the color?
The next one?
Yeah, the color shot.
That's one of the condor. Oh, he's got radar on the nose.
There you go, the cat whiskers.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That would be for night operations.
Yeah.
The cat's whiskers. They built a bunch of two-seat ME-262s, 15 of them. They outfitted with the cat whiskers, too. And the guy in the back seat was one of the original RIs, Rio.
The Messerschmitt 262 jets, they made, I guess, two-seater versions, right?
Right,
radar
for trainers.
And a pilot. Yeah, for trainers.
Yeah.
Look at
15
that. That's
of them. 15 yeah. of them they changed over, put the cat whiskers radar on the nose, and put the Rio in the back seat, and they had 15 of them, and there's only one left in the whole world, and I sat in the cockpit of that thing during one of our Shark Hunter tours. This was to Johannesburg, South Africa. It's the only one left in the world.
Rio would be radio operator.
Radio
intercept
ordnance,
now.
Whatever.
Yeah. Okay, that's got a pretty formidable, looks like a 30 caliber up on top, shooting forward and to the sides. And you got to be careful shooting backwards because you got a tail back there.
Usually they'll have some kind of interrupter there to where you don't shoot off your own tail.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's hard to explain that to the squadron commander that you shot yourself down.
Yeah, it would be. There's some bombs on the wings on this, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, so think of this as kind of like a B-17, not as heavy, not as well-armored, but reconnaissance and long-range operations, yes.
Right, and didn't carry the bomb load, didn't have as many guns, because the crew on a B-17 was 10 men. Pilot, co-pilot, radio operator, navigator, bombardier, and then a bunch of gunners.
Mm-hmm. All right, the next picture, we got whiskers again.
Yep.
We got, you can see the rear the rear gunner now. He's got a bubble, and there is a rear gunner there. And yes, there would be some kind of a detente or something to stop. When you're swinging that, it would have to stop and then neutralize the fire capability of it as it passed across the tail. The bombs, yep. Okay, yeah. Very interesting. Okay, next picture.
Last one in that row. Getty Images.
Last one in the room. Yeah.
That had got another long belly bubble.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's crummy weather there, too.
Winter in Europe. Tough. That's why they created so much. They were so... when you live in the tropics, there's not much of an impetus to create things. Like
I know.
Great
I used
civilizations.
To live on my boat in the Caribbean. There was no excitement, just laying around, reading books, playing Scrabble.
I'm glad you stopped there. Okay, now that... The next picture, line 3, shows the Focke-Wulf 200 configured as an airliner. There you
right.
go.
Yep, yep.
Think
before
of
the
DC,
war, I would
DC,
guess.
DC, DC-6? DC...
Yeah, probably, yeah. DC-6 was a 6-engine, I believe.
4-engine.
4-engine, that's right. DC-6, 4-engine, you're right.
Douglas... DC for Douglas Corporation.
Douglas Company. Yeah.
Company. Okay, there's a nice picture.
And the aircraft they made, the DC-3, was probably the safest, toughest aircraft ever built.
Mm-hmm.
Except you can't freebase cocaine in the back and expect to land safely.
Especially if your name is Ricky Nelson.
Yeah. He and my wife shared a birthday. They had this birthday on the same day.
Uh-huh.
But my wife's birthday is coming up in 3 days, but Ricky ain't celebrating his.
Well, not here.
No.
Okay. Next picture. Line 3.
Number
picture
18.
Number 2. Yeah. Number 18. All right. This is a Junkers 290. This is a big, heavy plane. Bigger than the FW-200.
Yeah.
More stout. It was obviously designed to be a bomber. I don't know how much use it got as a bomber. Probably more of a transport.
Yeah, this one's got a lot of windows in it. It's got a nose gun
and a
bubble above the cockpit. I don't see anything in the way of a tail gun on this aircraft.
And there's a little black line sticking out from the back of the fuselage, which might be a gun. Could be. See, there's a bubble on top.
Yeah.
That would be where the gunner would look, and the gun would be down below him, if there is one there. I don't know. All right, and the nose, you see it for what it is. There's also a bubble on top, behind where the pilot and co-pilot sit. Maybe another observation point, I don't know. But they were basically sitting ducks. You come in on a side angle from a plane like this, and they don't have a chance.
No, that's why they had to have 109s or FW-190s as top cover. But after a while, they didn't have many of them left either, so the planes got shot all to hell.
Do you know what's interesting? And I read this long ago, and I think it was... I'm gonna guess, but if I recall correctly... Even at the end of the war, when Germany had virtually no fuel and a tremendous shortage of pilots and aircrew, they were still producing something like 4,000 BF-109s a month. It was an enormous output, being bombed to hell all the time. I think it was several thousand fighters a month they were building.
Okay.
Still.
I don't know the exact number, but I know at the end of the war they had a massive amount of fresh aircraft, but no fuel and no pilots.
Right. Okay, the 290 again, the next picture, another winter snow scene. Boy, those people were all tough.
Yeah. I've been there in the winter. Well, I grew up in Chicago in the winter. I was stationed in Lincoln, Nebraska in bitter winter out there. Thanks, I'll stay in Florida.
Where the Bigfoot are. Okay.
That's right.
All right, next picture. Where are we here?
Image 20, but I've got PQ-17A.
Got it. All right, something's exploding there. What are we seeing?
Yeah, this is one of the ships in convoy PQ-17 that got hit by a torpedo. PQ-17 and PQ-18 just got torn to pieces, and PQ-18, David Irving wrote a book about that, the destruction of convoy PQ-18.
Wow.
Okay, that's a horrendous mess.
Yeah, that's a direct hit. Probably broke the back of that boat immediately. Yeah,
torpedo. And on the next picture, PQ-17B, another torpedo hit. And like I say, they didn't have a prayer. They knew nobody was going to stop to pick them up, because if any ship stopped, they were going to get hit.
Sure.
So if they got hit, they went down. You look at 17C, that's a freighter going down. The whole crew is gone.
There's an air balloon there. See that above that ship?
I see that. I don't know what that is, but
it's observation, probably.
Who knows? And then on the next
that
one,
that went up in that. It looks like that was a munition explosion, secondary. See the little flashes?
Hold on a sec. Let me go back to that one. Oh, yeah. I don't know if there'd be a munition ship. Usually when a munition ship gets hit, there's just nothing left. You don't even see the SN sticking up like that. But who knows? And one of our members, who's no longer with us, Otto Giza, was second watch officer on U-405 under Hopman. And they picked up the crew of a downed JU-88, they got shot down, and they're floating around in a raft, and so the submarine picked them up.
Huh. Wow. The two people in the 88, right? Or three?
Three. And most of these merchant ships usually had, depending on cargo or whatever, eight officers and anywhere from 25 to 35 men.
Okay. All right, next picture.
Yeah, PQ-17D, which is image 23, that's gone. Back is broken, and she's sinking. That's a convoy PQ-17. Then the next one, PQ-18A, that is what's left after an ammunition ship gets hit. That huge pillar of smoke.
Wow.
And people on board an ammunition ship have absolutely no chance whatsoever. They just disappear in a blinding flash. The next one, the first photo in the next row down, somebody said that is a depth charge explosion, but no, that you can see the ship inside that thing. To me, it looks like a torpedo strike. And the convoy escorts are just running all over the place trying to get to the submarines, and they lost some submarines. They lost some airplanes, but they made a terrible mess out of the convoy. Some of them, I forget which one it was, but about one third of the convoy made it through. The rest didn't make it.
Wow, doesn't that look a little bit big for a depth charge at that distance?
Yeah,
it's over half the length of that escort.
Yeah, they weren't throwing depth charges off to the sides. They were shooting them, and later in the war, I guess they could send them off to the sides, but they just rolled them off the deck, off the stern. And you can see a piece of the ship sticking out there to the right of the explosion.
Got it. Yeah, I see that. Yeah. Okay. Here, I was off. It was hundreds, not thousands. BF-109s. In 1945, the last year of the war, Germany still produced 2,798 of them.
Yeah.
Almost 3,000. They were getting they're just destroyed. In 1944, how many 109s did Germany produce? 12,807.
Yeah, 12,000. I think they made between 35 and 45,000 during the whole war. Something like that.
30,000.
30, okay.
The 262, they built 564 of the jets in 44 and 730 in the last year of the war for a total of just about 1,300. But it was too late. If Hitler had turned them loose in 1941 as air superiority fighters, much different air war would have ensued. All right.
Yeah.
That's why Adolf Galland quit, and Hitler finally had to ask him to come back. He quit. He said, I will not do this unless you make this plane into an air superiority fighter so we can control the skies. And they lost 2 years messing around trying to turn it into a Schnell bomber.
And that was Squadron JV-44, the Squadron of Experts.
JV-44. Yeah.
Two of those guys were members of Shark Hunters, Hans Eckhardt Bob, who I sat with, along with my best friend over there, Hans Georg Hess, the youngest combat submarine commander, in a dark, smoky German beer hall, while Hans Eckhardt Bob signed a bunch of prints of the picture we sell, or the print we sell, with him standing in front of his ME-262. And the other guy who was a member was Adolf Galland himself. Never met Galland, but we wrote back and forth quite a bit.
I told you I sent him those two Mickey Mouse collections, video.
Right, because that was what he had on his fighter plane.
Yeah, he really liked that.
Yep.
Germany built, during the war, 39 to 45, over 94,000 aircraft.
Yeah.
Just astonishing. Think about that.
Yeah, heavy industrial country.
While being bombed day and night, around the clock. Think about it. That's just almost impossible.
Yeah.
And we were making planes over here.
Later on.
I mean, that's not to detract from what we did here, but nobody was bombing us around the clock. And we didn't have to dig underground factories.
We were a whole bunch bigger than Germany.
Lots. Well, Germany was the size of Texas. Just remember that. That's it.
Yeah. And we had a lot more. And like you say, nobody was bombing us.
No. Okay, let's go on. Next picture, sir. Where are we?
Picture number 26 of 58, the ME-321. That gigantic glider.
That's called the, they call it the Giant eventually.
Yeah. And it took three aircraft to get it into the air, towing it.
Right. The ME-321.
One of our members, George von Zirk, was a navigator bombardier on a Heinkel 111, and that was one of three that towed one of these guys into the air. And the pilot, Werner Frick, he was also a member of Shark Hunters. They darn near ran into an apartment building because this thing was such a monster to get it up. They finally got it up, and that was it. That was the first, last, and only time that they ever towed one of these things into the air. They let it go to somebody else.
Wow. Okay, the next picture, that's picture number three in that line, shows the Gigant, the Giant, now no longer a glider. It's got power. Six powerful engines on it.
Radios.
Look at that.
It looks like a Winnebago with wings.
It does. It does. What is the first big open-nose transport ever made? Huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
Look at the landing gear, for God's sake. It looks like a railroad car underneath there.
Yeah.
Must have spent a fortune on tires.
Ten wheels. There's another one in the background you can see. We have more pictures of this as well. Okay, let's go to number four, and we'll see one of them being towed forward.
And the engines apparently are running too. Either that or they took the props off. I can't imagine that's the case.
No, I'd say they're running, sure.
Yeah. Yep. And a typical typical radial engine. You can see underneath the wing where all the oil's been drooling. Uh-huh. Radial engines were famous for leaking oil. I flew on some of those planes, Convair 440 and DC-6, sometimes back and forth to the Bahamas and other places. And you'd be flying along, and you can see the oil just running out of the engine, running down the top of the wing. And you think, geez, I hope they got a hell of a reserve there.
Well, all right. Okay, we'll pause right there, take our little break, and come right back. Harry's got some tours coming up this year, which we'll discuss as well. We're going to move right through these pictures. They are some extraordinary pictures. One of the giants, by the way, was sent on an ultra-secret mission deep into Soviet Russia behind the lines, and they never heard from the crew again. But they use those planes for a lot. Imagine what the noise would be like, one of those things flying over. Boom. Back in a minute. Hold on. Bill Gates. I got to dump this in. Bill Gates explains, I may not be able to get this story posted, but it'll be up later. Bill Gates explains that the coronavirus vaccine, and we all know that Gates has wet dreams about this vaccine 4 or 5 times a day, will use experimental technology and will permanently alter your DNA. Are you ready to roll up your sleeves? Ain't going to happen. No way. Well, they'll have their little nano self-replicating machines in there, their send and receive, and they will be intentionally altering your DNA, but there'll be more to it. This is like the Gardasil vaccine. It works with pieces of the DNA, and you know how many little girls were killed with Gardasil. This is going to be a disaster. If Trump and Kushner get this vaccine somehow allegedly perfected into market by the end of the year, which Trump is, all the experts say a year and a half minimum for anything that's seriously safe, there's going to be a rebellion in this country. He's already said that he's calling up the military and they're going to be instructed on how to give the vaccines to people. They want 300 million doses by the end of the year. This is going to set the stage for a civil war in this country. Okay, let's get back to history when things could have been so much different, but not the good guys don't always win. And ask General Patton. Don't ask anybody else. I'm speaking for myself here. But I trust and respect that man greatly. And others. Okay, now we are looking at picture number one. Wait, let's go make it easy
over.
For our friend. 1, 2, 3, for line 4, picture number 5. 1, 2, 3, 4 over, number 5 over. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It looks like that one kind of sat down on his rear end.
Well, they were the tail draggers, but...
but the front wheels ain't even on the ground.
They're
not a tail dragger. That just... you landed on all 10 wheels. Wasn't supposed to be a tail dragger.
Doesn't have
a wheel back there.
See the front? There's a machine gun on the left side of the front, probably one on the right side too. And that front nose opened up.
Yeah.
Just remember that. This is a big deal. That may have been a botched landing.
I would think so, yeah. Because it's got a skeg back there, but not a wheel. And the front two axles
supposed to
sit
up.
The ground.
It's not supposed to be a tail dragger. All
no.
right, next
major
picture.
Oops.
Look at there. Snow again.
But
notice, Harry, that... the back of this plane is on the ground also.
Yeah, and the front looks like it's a little bit boogered up.
It's up off the front wheels. It must have been tail heavy when it wasn't carrying a load. When you put a load in the front, it'll cause it to sit up on all 10 wheels. That's my guess.
Okay. It looks like there's junk all over the front, like something broke when it opened the door. Or broke off.
Was that one of Goering's garage sales? He was...
Is that what it was? Okay. Fat Herman's garage sale.
Well, look at the glass on the... where the pilot sits, covered over. I wonder what that means.
Maybe they're getting ready to scrap it out. It looks like it's hurt. Who knows?
Okay. Interesting picture. Where'd you find that picture? It's a good picture.
Came from the northwest.
Next. Oh. There's a good picture of it in flight. Look at it. Looks like it's just going to fall apart, doesn't it? This looks silly.
Yeah. They built some strange ones.
But it didn't, and it flew.
Right. And it carried a pretty heavy payload.
And the great tragedy was the North African airlift, which the Allies found out about. And they had a whole bunch of these down there full of troops. And a lot of them didn't make it across the Mediterranean. They were shot to pieces, and they all died.
Yeah, that's what happens in a war. People get shot down and killed.
Okay, last picture in that line gives you a good eye on the wing.
And it's the same aircraft because it's still sitting on its butt.
I'm not convinced if they don't sit like that when they're not loaded.
Could be. Could be they sit like that, and then when they load up the nose part, it comes back on the wheels.
I'll bet that's exactly what it was.
Jeez.
All right. And behind is a Junkers 292.
290, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Two engines.
Yep, two engines on each wing.
Yeah.
Four engine.
Right. There's two of them, two engines visible, two of them sitting back there. And I wonder where that doesn't look like Germany. It looks like North Africa.
Could be.
It's very, very arid.
Yeah, you'd have to ask the guy that sent that picture.
I'll ask him. Okay, next line. Now we're getting into some really amazing... it's a color picture of one of these. They were called Giant, the Giant.
Yep.
And for good reason.
And they had big guys like this that were flying boats as well. Like the next picture, the BV Triple Deuce.
That's an extraordinarily large aircraft.
Oh, boy, it is.
But that ain't the biggest one. All right, you don't hear about these things in wartime stories. You just don't.
No. Bigger ones had six engines.
This one has six.
They do?
Yep.
Oh, yeah,
See the you can see the props.
Yep. It's
okay,
late
that's,
here.
That's
I'm
the
off
two
my
two
meds,
two.
According to your producer.
No. What did he mean? Did he say that?
No, yeah, I was just jiving with him when he called. I answered the phone. I said, "Hello, this is Ganani. Can I help you?" And he says, "Okay, Harry, are you off your meds?" he's a cool guy.
Then just ask him. He'll tell you. All right.
Yeah. Pilot sits in this thing.
He worked. Todd works awfully hard running
that
network.
I know.
He really does. All right. Everybody here works hard. And we do it all because we really love the work and we want to do it to help all of you enjoy and learn. That's what it's about. Okay, picture number three, you can see the B-222. It's actually labeled picture number 10.
Yeah.
But that's...
The pilot's got to be three stories up in the air off the ground.
Sure he is. Look at that.
A big airplane.
Just astounds me. A little country... the size of Texas and the technology and the amount of material that was produced, and talk about material, shortage of raw materials, shortage of metal, shortage of... They were making their HO-229, which would have been a phenomenal aircraft. Radar evading and all. They were making out of laminated wood. 600 miles an hour. Just genius.
Don't
absolute
forget, though,
genius.
That the British Mosquito fighter was all wood.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's all,
it all
laminated
wood.
Plywood.
Hmm.
And the Japanese Zero was a lot of wood and fabric.
Well, okay. Picture number 36 of 58. Next one up shows a 222 taking off.
Probably landing. Not to be a stickler, but if it was taking off, there'd be bunches of water sheeting off the bottom.
Well, the wheels are up, Harry. Come on.
I know, but when they take off, there's a whole lot of water coming off the bottom of the aircraft.
Well,
okay, it's taken off then. If it makes you happy, it's taken off.
The nose is up. Well, it'd be up coming down, too.
Yeah.
I'd say it's 50-50.
The water underneath it has not been disturbed yet.
No. No, no, no. All right. Good wartime picture again. Here's another one. The next one. Look at the size of that thing.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. Just huge.
Six engines. Yeah. Big sucker.
Okay. So we are moving right along here. That's the 222. Just remember that, 222. Next picture shows another one. We could call it, at its anchorage, its mooring, looks like. And they may be doing some maintenance on it. There were wheels on it, so it could roll up out of the water, but they kept them retracted. I assume there were wheels. Had to be. Right?
Most of them had wheels.
Little wheels.
Yeah. Like
all right, there's another
wheels.
One. Trainers. Yeah. Training wheels. All right, last picture shows a 222. Is that a 222?
No.
That's not. That's
no,
right.
It's
that's
not
our
a 222.
That's our next one.
Yeah, that's a BV-238.
That's the 238. That was even bigger than the 222.
And even uglier.
The heaviest aircraft to fly, to be built in the war. That's the last picture in what the heck is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, line 5. Taking off.
Yeah. Photo, image 40 of 58.
So that one, see the nose on that? It's different. That looks like it's
about... Yeah, that's right. It's a pointy little nose.
Yeah. Okay, next picture, line 6, shows one or the other of them in the water. I don't know which one it is.
This, is a triple deuce because the nose is different. It's the first batch we were looking at.
Right, right.
These guys are apparently doing some work. That's it's a maintenance raft or float alongside.
This may not have had wheels. Maybe
it
didn't.
I don't think they did.
No. Okay, next picture, second picture in that line, shows one, I was right, I don't see any wheels. Looks like they're just dragging it on the snow.
Yeah, that's the pointy nose, it's a 238.
No, that's a 222.
Okay.
238 had the tall, boxy, skinny
front
nose.
Oh, that's right, that's right, it looked like a upturned snout.
Right. Okay.
The next picture is
a 238, and you see it. It comes to a point, and there's a door there. There's a door open right there.
Double door.
It's a huge aircraft.
You could put some cargo in that guy.
Look at the antenna on that, too.
Yeah.
Enormous antenna.
and the door, just a forward of the wing, and some guy is standing in the doorway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hang on, buddy. It's a long way to the ground, to the pond.
One, two, that's six stories tall, I'd say.
It's a huge aircraft.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know if the Spruce Goose was bigger than that. Don't know.
I don't know. But these flew all the time. The Spruce Goose only flew once, just enough to get him to collect on his contract.
And that was supposed to be a wartime aircraft. That was because the Germans had these, we had nothing. And that was supposed to be a wartime contract.
Yeah.
Okay, a BV-238. Take a look at that takeoff picture. That is enormous, just enormous. Okay, next picture. There's a 238 taxiing.
Yeah,
in
the
water.
Pointy nose.
Mm-hmm. Next one, pointy nose again. That's a duplicate picture, I believe. The next one.
The
that's
guy
a nice
up there
side
in the
shot.
Northwest was screwed up on that one.
Yeah, he's got off his meds, you know. What happened?
Yeah, right.
The next one's a nice side shot. Look at the precision. Look at the engineering on that. And they didn't have these computers and high-tech wind tunnels for aerodynamics and all that. None of that. They did it all by slide rules. That was their computer. Just remarkable.
I mentioned something about a slide rule to my daughter. What's that, Daddy? What's a slide rule?
Yeah.
That was before you had computers.
Correct. Okay. We're to the next to the last line now. Now we're getting
That's
up
one.
Into the heavyweights.
Yeah. This guy landed in a marsh, apparently.
Which one is that? Oh,
this
yes.
This is 48. The last one in that row.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in the weeds.
Yeah, he's a long way from the pond.
But notice there is a nose wheel there.
Yeah.
So there may have been a wheel in the middle of the undercarriage that we can't see. Would make sense.
I'm the expert.
Why
on
would
the
they just put a
nose?
Why would they just? They wouldn't just put a nose wheel on and
no,
not have another wheel.
You'd have all the gear or no gear.
Okay, next line. This is the big one. This is the Junkers 390. Right?
Yeah.
We've seen the 290, which had four engines.
Mm-hmm.
This has six engines.
Right. And this is the second one. They only made three, remember, and V3 never got completed. V2, this one, is 3 meters longer than V1, so it had a bigger fuel capacity, bigger fuel tanks.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the one that they flew Uncle Adi down to South America on. No, he did not go on board U-530. We can talk
this
about
plane,
that another time. But
yeah, this plane, there is reason to believe this plane still exists and has been in storage ever since it made its remarkable flight, and probably some flights after that, too. We don't know.
Yeah, we're told that we have reason to believe it was flying up until 1966. But it stopped, I don't know. My guess is in Paraguay, which is where it's based, they don't have a whole lot of parts to keep a 390 flying.
No. You can't just pull up Amazon and order them.
No.
Okay. Next picture. Really nice shot from below, probably taken by another aircraft.
Right, chase plane.
Full flight. This plane, there's reason to believe this plane flew to Japan during the war. It flew all the way back over Canada,
Yeah, we know
perhaps.
It did. It flew out of Vordafoss, Norway, and was going to... what the hell island is the Kerguelens? The islands where the Japanese fleet took off from.
Yeah, I know the name of them. I can't think of it. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Here now, next picture.
Kurile Islands. That's it. The Kurile Islands.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
And we ran a picture in our magazine about a year ago or so. The island, the the fly strip is still there, growing over, and there's huge, big piles of fuel drums. Most of them are red, but some of them were white and had Kriegsmarine markings on them. And we ran pictures of the tunnels. They had tunnel complexes on that island. Jeez, every place the Germans went, they dug tunnels.
Well, you had. Now, we need to put these pictures up on our next program. Look at
them. We can do that. I'm not as dumb as I look.
You look fine. I want one of those barrels. They were brought over there by submarine, apparently.
Yeah.
Good luck
at getting them out. We'll talk about that.
All right, here's a picture. This is a mystery picture. Number 52 of 58. What is it? Is it a Junkers 292 that crash landed? Or is it a 392? They only made two 392s, so the notch behind the cockpit glass roof is what you see where the antenna is also on a 392. And I don't know. I found this. I don't know what is that. I couldn't identify the wreckage. What are your thoughts?
Boy, I don't know. I'm doubting it's a 390 because they only had three of them.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, it ain't going to fly again. I don't know. I'd have to research that emblem on the side. That's a squadron marking on the side. You see the kind of a hat and a ring kind of thing there?
Sure.
That's a squadron marking. I'd have to check and see what squadron that is.
Those look to be Americans.
Yeah, American soldiers.
Yeah.
Maybe this is V3, JU-390 V3. But I'm not seeing...
Well, the cockpit matches. If you look at the other pictures, you can do your comparisons and...
Right.
And
remember, V3 was never really completed, so who knows? It might have been scrapped out on site.
All right. Picture number 53, nose shot. That's quite an impressive picture.
Yeah. Yeah. Big airplane. And a tail dragger.
Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, the 390. I don't know if that wreckage is a 390, but if you look at the cockpit, it does seem to match. Maybe it was the first prototype. They had square windows in there, which they realized later on were not the best. Round windows were most common in airliners anyway. All right, the next picture is an artist's rendition of what the 390 was supposed to do, and they were going to use it to bomb New York.
Right.
The America bomber.
That's correct. That's an artist concept, though.
Yeah.
There is evidence, though, that they flew down to Johannesburg and back. And, of course, as we already know, they flew from Vardufoss, Norway, over to the Kuril Islands and back several times.
The Kurils. K-U-R-I-L-S. Kurils.
That's correct.
Right. Okay. Number 15, the next picture, 55 of 58, is... I guess what they use is air defense.
Yeah, I was showing how the German flak boats were outfitted. This is a standard 20 millimeter, or as the Germans call it, 2.0 centimeter. Mm-hmm. But then if you look at the next picture over, image 56 of 58 that I've got marked as 16.
Yes.
That's
right.
The Fierlingen, the four barrel, and that would put up a wall of lead, and it would just ruin your day. But the problem the Germans had with most of their automatic guns, they were magazine fed rather than belt fed, and so you could only had about 20 rounds per magazine, and you had to keep dropping the mags in.
That's on the top of a U-boat there.
That's on the Winter Garden, which is the lower deck below the bridge where they stick turrets, mm-hmm. or as the Americans call it, the bandstand. Then if you look at the next picture there, the one I've got listed is, I don't even know if I got a number on it. Jeez, anyhow, it's 57 or 58. You look, this is U-441, the one they outfitted as a flak trap. On the left side of the bridge, there's a twin 20-millimeter mount. On the right side of the bridge, there's a twin 20-millimeter. And then mm-hmm. down on the next level, that's that four-barrel, the Fear Lincoln. This was the boat that they sent out. It was so badly banged up it could never be a submarine again, so they outfitted her in the yards with a whole mob of anti-aircraft stuff. You look at the last photo there, and you see all the anti-aircraft guns on this boat. So they would go out into the Bay of Biscay and expect Royal Air Force Coastal Command.
Trying to bait them, yeah.
Right, and the first time it worked, they just blew the poor guy out of the sky. Well, then the next time, the plane, the bomber, realized what was going on, so he stayed just out of range and called in some help. So they brought in 3, 4, 5 other Royal Air Force planes, and they attacked from all different directions, which diversified the firepower of U-441, and right. they got shot all to hell. 10 people dead. All the officers were dead. And the ship's doctor took command and brought the boat back into port. And that was pretty much the end of the flak trap idea. It was a great idea.
He actually was able
on paper.
to sail it back to port. Wow.
Yeah. It was a great idea on paper, but somebody should have thought, mm-hmm. hey, what if they come with more than one airplane from different directions, and we're mm-hmm. we've lost our advantage.
Well, a wonderful little photo journey through history, technology, extraordinary technology that probably a lot of you who aren't members of Shark Hunters have never seen before, hopefully. Now, we can stretch another minute or so here. You have upcoming tours you want to talk about, assuming
That's
the
correct.
Virus will cooperate. All right.
Well, yeah. Things are opening up. They're opening up in Germany now, which is where our first tour is going in early September.
Uh-huh.
In Germany right now, everything's pretty much open from what I'm getting from our people there, but you have to have a mask when you're outside. But we're going there in 3-4 months, September. We're going to Berlin for about a week. Then we're going around North Germany, going to visit the only Type 21 submarine left in the world, U-2540. Going to visit U-995, the only Type 7 left out of over 800 built. And the skipper of that boat was my best friend in Germany, Hans-Georg Hess, 21-year-old mm-hmm. kid. They gave him command of a combat submarine.
Wow.
And we'll visit Wilhelmsburg Castle. What else? Hamburg. Fascinating city there, Hamburg.
And eat more food, more delicious food than you can imagine.
Oh, they've got good food over there. They do indeed. My favorite, of course, is Schweinebraten. And, you know, if you like beer, you're in heaven over there. Every little town has its own brewery, and there's zillions of breweries. And then the other tour we're doing is November, 2 weeks, down in Argentina. And we're going to stay overnight, one night at the estate where Hitler lived for 10 years after the war. We're going to visit that. We've gotten permission. We can go into what's called the Saracen Tower, which is normally off limits totally because it's
first.
Privately owned.
Yeah,
and all the Third Reich historic places in Buenos Aires. There'll be more on the website, so your folks can go to sharkhunters.com and send me an email at sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com. Say you heard the show, and we'll send you a free copy of the current issue of our magazine electronically.
Very good. All right. Thank you, sir. Go look at the inside of your eyelids for a while.
I have to take Asha out for a walk.
No, Asha is taking you out for a walk.
Yeah, I know. She's 70-something pounds, and when she sees a rabbit, it's
Jesus.
All I can do to dragging me down the road.
Let's make sure she doesn't knock you down. That's not a joke.
Right. No, I know that, but she's a powerful dog, that's for sure. But
yeah.
She's...
Okay, Harry. Wonderful. Thank you.
You have a great time in the next hour.
I'll try. Thank
Roger
you very
that.
Much.
Bye-bye.
Okay, good night. Harry Cooper, sharkhunters.com. All right, we'll be right back. Hang on.
Over 6,000 hours of legendary broadcasts. Subscribe now by taking the link at the top of Rents.com and enrich your mind with the most unique panorama of vital information and the best independent, honest...